Hi friends, would you like to hear an amazing fact? The person who's gone the longest without any sleep was David Gardner, 17 years old. In 1964, he went 11 hours and 25 minutes with no sleep. He did this under careful supervision, but they noted that after that period of time, he was having moodiness, memory lapses, hallucinations, and he couldn't do math problems. God designed us that we need rest. We're going to talk about how to find that rest in this presentation of Revelation Now.
Hello, friends. If you've tuned in, you're part of Revelation Now. We'd like to welcome all of those joining us across the country and around the world, part of this International Bible Prophecy Seminar. We're delighted to be able to study with you some of the most important and fascinating prophecies of the Bible. Well, before we get to our study, let's start with prayer. Dear Father, we thank you that we're able to open up your word and study these very important, timely, biblical truths. And Lord, we ask for your Spirit. We know the Bible is your book, and we want the Holy Spirit to guide us. Be with those who are listening and watching all over the world. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Well, our study today is titled, The Rest of Our Work. And this is really a prophecy subject. Now, when we first get into it, you might wonder, what is the angle on this? What are we going to be talking about? I want you to go to Revelation chapter 14, verse 7, and notice this. It says, fear God. These angels are pictured flying in the midst of heaven, and they declare, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment has come. And worship him who made, worship the Creator, the heavens and the earth and the sea and the springs of water. By the way, that is an excerpt from the fourth commandment. It says to God's people to worship the Creator. We're living in a world where a lot of people do not believe in the Creator anymore. They believe in evolution. Same chapter, then it singles out the people who are worshiping the beast in his image. You look in Revelation 14, verse 11, and it says, they, those who worship the beast and receive his mark, they have no rest day or night who receives his mark of his name. And so you've got this contrast between one group that is worshiping God and they're worshiping the Creator. The other group, it says, has no rest, those who worship the beast in his image and whoever receives the mark of his name. Now, to understand how important this subject is of worship and rest, we're going to go back to the Old Testament and go to the book of Exodus. Most of you know the story of the Exodus. It dates back to the time they believe that Ramses II was probably the Pharaoh who was ruling Egypt at the time of Moses. Children of Israel had been enslaved by the Egyptians, and the Egyptians were treating them very cruelly. They had taskmasters over them that were working them. Well, Moses, who was born as a slave, but he was adopted into Pharaoh's house miraculously, he tried to deliver his people on his own when he saw one of the Egyptian taskmasters beating a servant. Moses rose up and he killed the Egyptian taskmaster. And then when it was known, he fled into the wilderness and he figured that, well, he wouldn't be the one God would use to deliver his people. But 40 years later, God appears to Moses at the burning bush. And he said, I've chosen you. I want you to go back and bring my people back to this mountain to worship me here. And that was Mount Sinai, Mount Horeb, where God gave them the Ten Commandments. So Moses goes back to Egypt. But before he goes to the Pharaoh and tells him, let my people go, he first meets with the elders of Israel. Notice what it says here. And Moses and Aaron, his brother, they went and they gathered together the elders of the children of Israel. Now at this meeting, something very important happened. He said to them, God has spoken to me, and he's going to deliver you from your slavery. You need to humble yourselves before God and return to him. He highlighted that they had been adopting the customs and the idolatry of Egypt, that they had been neglecting to worship the true God. And among the things we believe that Moses said to them in that meeting was, we need to continue resting. You guys are working 7 days a week. One reason we believe that is look what happens next. When Moses then goes to the Pharaoh and says, let my people go, and the Pharaoh doesn't want to let them go. Afterward, Moses and Aaron went in and told the Pharaoh, "Thus says the Lord God of Israel, let my people go." And the Pharaoh said, "Behold, the people of the land are now many, and you make them rest." That word there, rest, is the word Shabbat. You are making them keep Sabbath. They're not giving me as much work. I don't want them to rest. I want them to work, work, work. You're making them rest from their burdens. "Thus saith Pharaoh, I will not give you straw to make the bricks. Go ye get your straw where you can find it. Go therefore now and work, for there shall no straw be given you." Now, the story of the Exodus is the story of salvation. You've got a nation that are in bondage. They're in slavery. And the Pharaoh is like the devil. And he's making them work. They're laboring. They're heavy laden. You know, Jesus had come to me, and I'll give you rest. The Pharaoh says, "I don't want you to rest. I want you to work, work, work. Work yourself to death so you don't think about the purpose of life." And so you've got this contrast that you even see going from the book of Exodus all the way into the book of Revelation between worshiping the beast in his image and worshiping the Creator. Go, therefore, continue with that level of work. Well, God said, "I'm going to bring my people out that they might worship me." Plague after plague went to Pharaoh, saying, "Let them go, let them go." There was the darkness, and there was the lice, and there was the blood in the waters, and the hail and the fire, and eventually there was the Passover. That was the last of the plagues. They sacrificed a lamb, and then they began their journey out of Egypt. And of course, Moses brought them to Mount Sinai. Don't forget, the lamb comes before the law. Nobody is saved by the law. We are saved by the lamb. So he led them through the Red Sea, and after he led them through the Red Sea, before they get to Mount Sinai, they run short on bread. And God says, "Don't worry, I'll feed you with bread from heaven." He said, "6 days a week, I'm going to rain down this bread for you. But you're not getting any on the seventh day. On the sixth day, gather twice as much." He said, "Eat that today, for it is a Sabbath to the Lord. Today you'll find none in the field." So God performed this miracle for 40 years where he rained bread down from heaven for 6 days, but there would be none on the seventh. And it was meant to be a time of rest. Now, this is even before they get to Mount Sinai. So this law predates even the Ten Commandments. Because when some of the people went out to try to gather bread, God said to Moses, "How long will they refuse to keep my commandments?" And that's in Exodus 16. You don't find the Ten Commandments until you get to Exodus 20. So with this little backdrop, let me just tell you, friends, what we're going to talk about. In the last days, you've got a battle over worship. One group is going to worship God, receive the seal of God, and another group is going to worship the beast in his image, and they have no rest. You can see that in the book of Daniel, the king made a law. In Daniel chapter 3, everybody's got to bow down and worship this image. But those three faithful Hebrews said, "We're not going to bow and worship the golden image because the Ten Commandments say, do not make idols and pray to them." So they were tested. It was a government law, but they refused to bow down. They were threatened with death, but God delivered them. Then you get to Daniel chapter 6. Now it's the Persian government instead of the Babylonian. Makes a law. Don't pray to anybody but to the king Darius for 30 days or you're going to die. Well, Daniel said, "I can't do that because that breaks the first commandment." In the last days, the devil's going to do the same thing. There's going to be a law that is going to compel people. First, they'll be told you can't buy or sell. And it's going to compel them to worship contrary to God's word, or they won't be able to buy or sell. Ultimately, they'll be killed. So we need to know what these issues are so we're not deceived in the last days. Keep in mind, Daniel chapter 7, verse 25 says that the beast power thinks to change times and laws. Friends, put on your seatbelt, because you're going to learn some things tonight that I think are going to surprise you. But I pray you'll come with an open mind and an open heart and an open Bible. We're going to go out to our man on the street and find out what people have to say about the Sabbath day, and that'll be our study tonight.
I think a day of rest is absolutely necessary as long as you make the most of it.
I think everybody needs rest every now and then. It doesn't necessarily have to be a single day.
I guess I think people need like 3 days of rest per week.
I do think people need a day of rest too, actually.
I personally need like 5 days of rest per week. It's a tough life.
The people need a day of rest every week because it helps recuperate the body.
We're not really meant to just keep going 24/7.
I think having like a day of rest for, you know, just any sort of lifestyle is important. You know, you can't just work yourself every day.
Saturday.
I believe Saturday? Sunday? not 100% sure.
The biblical Sabbath is on Sunday.
I think the biblical Sabbath is on Sunday.
It could be Saturday, Sunday. Some people, it's Monday. So I don't know.
Probably around Easter, right? Lent, April-ish.
The day of the Sabbath is Sunday.
It would be Wednesday.
On a Sunday.
It's Saturday.
Some people say it's Saturday. Some people say it's Sunday. I say it's whatever day you want to make it.
From sunset on Friday or something until like sundown on Saturday.
Starts Friday night through Saturday night, up until Saturday evening, I believe.
All right. Well, there you've got the little feedback from some of our people out in the various cities across the country dealing with the subject of the Sabbath. Now, stay tuned, friends. You're going to find out this has very much to do with prophecy and the last days. But as is our custom, we're going to go into this study using the question-answer format. So our first question helps me remember all the different points. Question number one, did God make the Sabbath rest only for Israelites? What does the Bible say? You can read in Mark chapter 2, Jesus said, "And he said unto them, the Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath." See, God made man on the sixth day, but then he made the Sabbath on the seventh day. He made another day for man to be blessed in that time period. Now, the word that Jesus uses here, man, that's the word anthropon or anthropos, and it means mankind. M-A-N is not how you spell Jew. A lot of people think the Sabbath is just for the Jews, but that's really absurd. It's not only Jews that need rest. And in the Sabbath commandment, God said it's not only for a person, it's for the people in their household and even their animals. Everybody needs rest. That's part of God's design, part of his divine design for us. And it even says in Isaiah 56, verse 6, "Also the sons of the stranger," meaning non-Jews, "that join themselves to the Lord to serve him and to love the name of the Lord, to be his servants, everyone that keeps the Sabbath from polluting it and takes hold of my covenant, even them I'll bring to my holy mountain and make them," what's that word here in the studio? "Joyful in my house of prayer." This is to be a blessing. It's to be a joy. And he said to everybody, you know, he said that it was to be the stranger within your gates, the servants in your home, even your animals. It was made for mankind. Now, the reason this is so important is because, very simply, God is love. The way that you develop a love relationship is with time. After God made man, he then said, "I'm going to make a specific day." He made the world in 6 days. Why is it we have 7 days in a week? He was finished after 6 days. Why don't we go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6? Why is there another day? Because God says, now I want a day where we can enjoy our existence, our creation together. Because all love relationships take place in the context of time. Show me a couple that's having relationship problems, and I'll often show you that they're having time problems. They're lacking in quality time. Every now and then, Mrs. Batchelor reminds me, we're not spending enough time together. One of the benefits of the COVID is that we've got to spend more time together because I'm not traveling quite as much. Sometimes she'll say, "We're not spending any time together." I say, "I'm home all day." She'll say, "But you were in the office." I'll say, "But I texted you." How many of you have texted your spouse while you're in the same house? You don't have to raise your hands. So we're living in a culture that is the most stressed culture in the world. I understand that the five leading causes of death in humanity are stress-related. Things like heart disease, diabetes, cancer, high blood pressure. They're all related to stress. Most of I think it's also true that the top five medications that are sold, whether it's sleep aids or antacids or antidepressants, are all related to stress. Stress is killing society. And if people would rediscover what God originally designed for man, they'd find a blessing that would really lengthen their life and the quality of their life as well as the quantity. Now, when did God establish the Sabbath? Is the Sabbath something that just came for the Jews in Exodus chapter 20? And did it pass away with the coming of Jesus? Let's find out what the Bible says. Back in Genesis, when God made the world, and keep in mind, who made Adam and Eve? The Gospel of John tells us in the first chapter, all things that were made by him. Speaking of Christ, he is the Word. And Jesus, when he made man in his own image, he then made a day. And the Bible says the Lord would come walking in the cool of the day to spend time with man. But after sin, they ran from God, and there's been this separation. So it was part of his perfect plan. Right there in Genesis chapter 2, second chapter in the Bible, thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them, and God blessed the seventh day, and he sanctified it. So it's right back there in the beginning, because in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. And keep in mind, God didn't rest because he was all exhausted. The Bible says God neither slumbers or sleeps. He's never tired. The Bible tells us that God really was resting because he was reveling in the enjoyment. It's like he got done with something. He stood back and he folded his arms and said, everything is good, good, very good. And he was enjoying the creation. God likes to make life. So question three. Now we're going to repeat that verse that we just looked at in Genesis chapter 2. I want to highlight something that has to do with Revelation. What day of the week is the Sabbath according to the Bible? And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made, and God blessed the seventh day, and he sanctified it. So here we are in the very beginning, first book of the Bible, and you find the number seven mentioned three times. When God says something three times, it's very important. It's like when the angels go, holy, 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 speaking of God. And so when it says the seventh day, the seventh day, the seventh day, then you go to Revelation. It tells us about the mark of the beast, the number of a man. It's 666. It's interesting. Man was made on the sixth day. So the contrast you find between Genesis and Revelation is a contrast between man-made religion and God-made religion, the worship of man and the worship of God. And you're seeing that there's a big gap between the two of Genesis and Revelation. So how has God demonstrated the importance of his holy Sabbath? Well, he did several things here. You notice it tells us, if you look in Exodus 20, matter of fact, if you have your Bibles, we might just go here and I'll read this right out of the blessed book. You go to Exodus 20, it's the first place you find all the Ten Commandments. You'll also find them mentioned in complete form in Deuteronomy 5. Then you find them itemized many times throughout the Bible, New and Old Testament. And I ought to mention right here, some people say, well, we're only supposed to keep the commandments that are repeated in the New Testament, and so we don't need to keep the Sabbath. That's a myth I've often heard. The Sabbath is repeated in the New Testament. There is one commandment that is not repeated in the New Testament. It's the commandment that says, do not take the name of the Lord in vain. But I hope there's no one watching that believes it's okay to take God's name in vain. And it does say in the Lord's Prayer, hallowed be thy name. So the principle is certainly there. But yes, you do find the Sabbath commandment in the New Testament. So you find the commandments many times through the Bible, but most complete form is going to be here when God spoke them, and then he wrote them with his finger. And you can look in Exodus 20, and this begins with verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you should labor and do all of your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord. Notice it doesn't say Sabbath of the Jews. Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter or your male servant or your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heaven and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them. That's a quote that we just read from Revelation 14. Worship him who made the heaven, the sea, and the earth. In Revelation, that is an excerpt from the fourth commandment about the Sabbath, calling people back to worship the Creator just before Jesus comes in the same chapter. That's chapter 14. For in 6 days the Lord made the heaven, the sea, the earth, and all that is in them, and he rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day, and he hallowed it. You know that he did something different, obviously. It says that the Lord, he blesses the day, he rested on that day, he sanctifies the seventh day. God does something unique with that day. We cannot choose to pick another day when God says, I have picked the day. You know, if you went to a man who had seven daughters and you said, I'd like to marry your daughter. And he said, really? Which one? He said, it doesn't matter, one of them. He'd say, get out of here. So when God says, look, I have a particular day that I have done something very unique with. I've hallowed this day. I rested this day as my example for you to follow my example. And I bless this day because I want you to be blessed. And you say, well, thank you, God, but I'm going to be my own God. I'm going to pick my own way, my own day of doing things. That's not what you call obedience. That's called man-made religion. And so people have gotten away from doing what God said and also when he said it. Now, you might think, Pastor Doug, you're making a big deal out of a little thing. You know why the whole world is in big trouble today? Because of a piece of fruit. Think about it. The whole world is struggling with sin and misery because God said, don't eat that fruit. I mean, would you ever do that to your kid if they grab a piece of fruit off the table? Oh, the world's going to end now because that fruit. But it must have been very important. Does God care about little things? Jesus said, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. Listen to what Christ said in Matthew 5:19. First of all, he says, do not think I've come to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but fulfill. Whosoever therefore shall break one of the least of these commandments and teach men so, he will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever shall do and teach them. Now you might wonder, Pastor Doug, why are you talking about this? Well, we talked about idolatry because it's one of the commandments. And people are going to be worshiping the image of the beast in the last days. We need to know what the Bible says about idolatry. We're talking about the Sabbath because it's one of the Ten Commandments, the longest of the Ten Commandments, in the middle of the law, and most of the world is neglecting it, and they're not being blessed because of it. We want you to be blessed. Notice Jesus said, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments. So you can go through the ten and say whichever one you think is the least. Christ said that person will be called the least by those in heaven. Doesn't mean they're in heaven. It means the people in heaven refer to that person as the lowest kind of person. If you are breaking or teaching other people by your word and example to break one of God's commandments, that's bad news. Sin is the transgression of the law. Jesus died to save us from our sins. So he wants us to be doing it. And he says, blessed are those who do and teach it. So I want God to bless me. That's why I'm doing it and teaching it. Same will be called great in the kingdom of heaven, those who do and teach it. Of what two precious things does God say that the Sabbath is a sign? So if we look here in Exodus 31, verse 17, he said, it is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever, for in 6 days the Lord made the heaven and the earth. It is a sign that God is the creator. And that reminds us that he can recreate us. Because being saved, the Bible says, you're a new creation. You're born again. Old things are passed away. All things are made new. The Sabbath reminds us that God recreates us. And we need to be recreated in his image. What else is it a sign of? And it says here that I gave them, this is Ezekiel 20, verse 12, I gave them my Sabbaths to be a sign between me and them, that they might know that I am the Lord that does sanctify them. Now that's telling us that he's a God that makes us holy. So we need God to still sanctify us. And by the way, he said it's a sign. You know, you get to Revelation, it says that God has a special sign, seal, that he gives his people. Bind up the testimony, seal the law among my disciples in Isaiah chapter 8. Seal the law. There's something in our hearts that makes that difference. Now, a Christian is ultimately a follower of Jesus. And we've told you the revelation is the revelation of Jesus. Let's look at the example and the teachings of Jesus on this subject. What day did Jesus keep holy? He came to Nazareth, where he'd been brought up, and as his custom was, custom isn't something you do once or twice, ongoing behavior, he went into the Sabbath, into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he stood up for to read. Jesus' pattern, his custom, his behavior all through his life. He would go to the synagogue, that was the gathering where they would worship God on the Sabbath day, and he would read the scriptures, and it was a common practice for him. And this is a good example for us. God has a day for us to rest from our regular work. Now, when we talk about resting, that doesn't mean that you stay in bed all day. That wasn't God's intention. I know some people like to interpret it that way. They say, oh yeah, I have no problem. All day, Sabbath, I'll rest. It's a day to worship God. You can read in Leviticus chapter 23, it says, I'm calling the Sabbath a holy convocation. That word convocation means assembly. You convene, you come together. He wants his people to come together and to worship him. The Bible tells us in the New Testament, in Hebrews chapter 10, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. And the principal time that God's people in the Old and New Testament would come together, they could do it any day of the week, but the principal time was the Sabbath. They would come together because it was that holy day of rest. It's okay to heal. Jesus healed people on the Sabbath day. He said it's better to do good on the Sabbath day. You never find Jesus in the carpenter shop on the Sabbath day because that would be your typical common work, and you're not supposed to do that work, God said very plainly. Now, we know what Jesus did. What about Paul? What was his custom regarding the Sabbath? Acts 18, verse 4, and Paul, as his custom was, he went into them, and three Sabbath days he reasoned with them out of the Scriptures. He's talking, of course, in the synagogue. They're going to say, well, that makes sense. He's talking to the Jews. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath day. He persuaded Jews and Greeks. Notice it's not just the Jews. He's also persuading the Gentiles, non-Jews, such as the Greeks. Did the apostles also meet with the Gentiles on the Sabbath? Yes. Acts 13, 42. And when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath day. So you see all through the Bible, the apostles continued to preach worship on the Sabbath day. You can read where it says, on the Sabbath day, we went out to a river where prayer was wont to be made. And the book of Acts is written by a Gentile, Luke. And he never says the old Jewish Sabbath. All through the life and example of Jesus. Matter of fact, there's a lot of contention during the life of Jesus with the religious leaders about the Sabbath. The contention never had to do with, should we keep the Sabbath? The contention was always regarding how should we keep the Sabbath? And so, but Jesus always, he said, I have kept my Father's commandments and I abide in his love. So this is the example of Christ. Did Jesus intend for his people to keep the Sabbath after he died? You can tell when Jesus is talking about the end of the world. In Matthew chapter 24, he specifically said that they should pray that their flight, it's not talking about a flight on United or Delta, it's talking about fleeing for your life, that it would not be in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day, because wintertime, there would not be any food in the fields you could forage, and the Sabbath day, it certainly wouldn't be in keeping with resting if you got to run for your life. So he said, we even should pray ahead of time for that we don't have to flee. So looking down in time, Jesus always said it would be part of God's plan. Now, going back to Revelation, I want to remind you, this is where we started. Then I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to those who dwell on the earth. What did Jesus say about that in Matthew 24? Verse 14, the gospel of this kingdom will be preached in all the world to witness unto all nations. Then the end will come. Then the end shall come. Doesn't say it might or could, it will come. Here we have pictured these angels flying in heaven. In fact, you know, I think about right now as we're speaking that this signal is going from here via internet to at least a couple of different satellites going up to the sky, 23,000 miles above the earth. There are many satellites that are circling in what you call geocentric orbit. They are in a stationary place. There are these angels. They've got these big wings of solar panels that give them power, and they are bouncing the message off their satellites, and it's going all around the world. A lot of the internet traffic is not going by direct line. It's bouncing off the satellites. I don't want to make too much out of that these angels are satellites, but I just think it's interesting. So the gospel is going to the whole world. This is telling us these angels with a loud voice in the heavens. Heavens are a place of visibility where something is going. Part of this message is what? Fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment has come. And worship him who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and the springs of water. That is an excerpt from the Sabbath commandment. The heaven and the earth and the sea and the fountains of water. So this is part of the message that is going to the world, bringing people back to the Bible. Now I've got to pause here. Breathe, Doug. I get excited. And I forget how I felt when I first learned these things. I was shocked. I mean, you think I would know better because I grew up with a Jewish background. But when I read the Bible, and I'll tell you my story tomorrow morning if you're able to join us, I read the Bible and I accepted Jesus and I started going to church. And I went on Sunday because that's when all the Christians went to church. And I thought, well, I started reading the Bible. It says the seventh day. And then I looked at the calendar, seventh day, Saturday. And I'm going, well, how can that be? And I went to several pastors and said, why are we going on Sunday? And it seemed like every pastor gave me a different answer. And one pastor, he said, well, Doug, the reason that we go on Sunday is because the first day of the week was the day of the resurrection. I said, yeah, but Jesus said, keep the seventh day. I said, do we have a commandment? He said, no, but we've got a longstanding tradition. And I went to another pastor and he said, don't worry about the Sabbath, Doug. We're not under the law now, we're under grace. We don't need to worry about the Ten Commandments. I said, can we break the other nine? No. I was doing a seminar like this with a live audience, had hundreds of people there, and I presented this subject, and there was another pastor there, and he interrupted. It was a smaller community, so I think he felt at liberty. He raised his hand, and he said, Brother Doug, you're putting these people under the bondage of the law. I said, hey, pardon me? He said, you're telling them they've got to keep the Sabbath commandment, and that's putting them under the bondage of the law. And I said, wait a second. You're telling them not to keep the Sabbath. You're telling them to work. I'm telling them to keep it. I'm telling them to rest. You're putting them under works. And he said, I asked him a question. I said, do you think we need to keep the Ten Commandments? He said, no. And some of his members were, they went, huh? And he said, yes. Then he thought, well, that would mean, you know, it's kind of a package deal. And he said, nine of them. And so I said, you're telling me then the one commandment we're supposed to forget is the only commandment that begins with the word remember. That doesn't make sense. But I remember how shocked I was when I heard these things for the first time. I thought, how could so many people be wrong? How could so many religious leaders be missing this? And I want to emphasize right here, there are going to be a lot of people in heaven that didn't know this. I'm not questioning people's relationship with the Lord. I think the greater part of the Christian world maybe doesn't understand this truth. But it's in the Bible, and God is calling us back to his word in the last days. And so, you know, I just want to make that clear, and I hope I'm being gracious. I get so excited about it that sometimes I think I may blow people away as I'm sharing this subject. But, you know, the reason I don't apologize is because it's one of God's commandments. And so how could you feel like you're apologizing for sharing the Ten Commandments? If people want to know what the Bible says, I mean, sin is the breaking of God's law. All right, with that disclaimer, does the Bible teach that God's end time people would also be keeping his seventh day Sabbath? Yes, the dragon was wroth with the woman. That woman is God's church. And he goes to make war, there you got your battle of Armageddon, with the remnant, that means remainder, of her seed, which the seed means her descendants, her children, that keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. The dragon is especially angry with those that keep the commandments of God. Friends, if you're ever in doubt about what to do, do what makes the devil mad, and you're doing the right thing. I know in the judgment day, I will have no problem standing before the Lord, and God is not going to say, Doug, why did you keep that commandment? I'll say, well, God, you spoke it with your voice. You wrote it with your finger. And, you know, you wrote it in stone to indicate its unchanging nature. I mean, if there's anything that God could do that would emphasize this is forever, I would think that would be it. And so I'm very confident that a Christian should not apologize for believing in all 10 commandments. It's not called the 10 recommendations, and God is not giving us optional choice. This is His law. This is His will. And you will be blessed if you obey. The devil, all through these examples in prophecy, tries to get God's people to sin against God because he separates them from God by their sins. Through coming to Jesus, we are reconciled to God through his forgiveness. That's called justification. But then he wants us to obey him, and that's what sanctification is. Here is the patience of the saints. This is Revelation 14:12. It contrasts one group that has the seal of God, that worships God. The other group has the mark of the beast. And then it says, here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God. And everybody keeps some of the commandments some of the time. Before I was a Christian, I was in jail a few times, not just visiting. And everybody I ever met in jail keeps some of the commandments some of the time, at least when they're sleeping, right? So is God looking for people that keep some of them? Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 29, God says, oh, that there was such a heart in them. Think of that verse. It begins with the word, oh, that there was such a heart in them that they would fear me and keep all of my commandments always, that it might be well with them and their children. God wants us to keep it that it's well with us because he loves us. Whenever you tell your children to obey, you have their interest in mind. We're missing a blessing. God didn't curse the day. He blessed the day. And we're missing that. Blessed are those who do his commandments. There you have it. That they might have a right to the tree of life and enter in through the gates of the city. So this is an important issue with God. Question 11. Will all of the saved be keeping the Sabbath in heaven? Yes. Isaiah 66, verse 22 and 23. For as the new heavens and the new earth that I will make shall remain before me, says the Lord, so shall your seed and your name remain. And it will come to pass that from one new moon to another and from one Sabbath to another shall all flesh, does it say all Jews? All flesh means all people, whole creation, gather to worship before me. There's another example of it was a day to gather together to worship, a holy convocation. You could even keep it in heaven. Think of this. We just showed you it was there in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve. We know that in the Old Testament, Moses is part of the commandments. We see Jesus and the apostles are keeping the Sabbath day through the New Testament. Matter of fact, the vision of Revelation is given to John. It says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. What is that? I think we have a question coming on that. It makes sense then. We're going to keep it in heaven, right? So the big question is, should we be keeping it now? I would think so, friends. Can we be certain that the present day, seventh day of the week, Saturday, is the same Sabbath day that Jesus kept holy? There's no question about that. You can look in the Bible, in Luke 23, verse 54, through Luke 24, verse 1, and that day, the crucifixion day, was the preparation. The sixth day of the week was the day they would prepare for the Sabbath. And the Sabbath drew on. The sun was getting ready to go down. And they returned and they prepared spices and ointments to embalm his body. And they rested the Sabbath day according to the commandment. This would have been a good place for Luke to say they rested the Sabbath day according to the Jewish custom. But he says, the commandments. It's very clear of God. And he was a Gentile. And on the first day of the week, they came to the sepulcher and praise God. Jesus had risen. The tomb was empty. Now, why did they come Sunday morning? Because they loved the Lord so much, they would not even finish their labor of love embalming his body because the sun was going down Friday afternoon. They knew the Sabbath was coming. They knew that would displease Jesus. Can you imagine that? Jesus never gave the disciples the idea that the Sabbath was not important to him because he impressed them that it was so important to him. They would not even finish that labor of love embalming his body until after the Sabbath was passed. So they never got that idea from Jesus that it didn't matter. And the angel said that he's risen. So the preparation day was Friday. Many call that Good Friday. The Sabbath was the day in between, Saturday. And then you've got Sunday. Have you ever considered, friends, that Jesus, He laid down his life for us Friday afternoon. He went to sleep. He rested in the tomb on the Sabbath. He even kept the Sabbath in his death. He rose Sunday morning to continue his work for us as our intercessor, the high priest in heaven, who lives to make intercession for us. He even kept the Sabbath in his death. If you look in a dictionary, Saturday, seventh day of the week. Seventh day, Saturday. It's in the encyclopedia. In over 105 languages of the world, more than that, the word for the seventh day of the week is Sabbath day. I suspect some of you here in our studio audience speak some Spanish. Saturday, sábado. Any Russians here? Subota. And you can go through 105 languages. Why is that? Because all the people of the world sprang from a common culture where they all had a seven-day week. Why is it that here we are in a world, now it makes sense, that the reason that we've got a day with 24 hours is it takes 24 hours for the earth to revolve one time on its axis. It makes sense that most of the countries and civilizations of the world, even the ancient ones, they had a month with about 27 days because that's the lunar cycle. It makes sense that most of the civilizations had a year with about 360 to 365 days because that's how long it takes the earth to make one circuit around the sun. So there are heavenly bodies that dictate these things. But tell me, what in the sun, moon, or stars gives the world a seven-day week? It's in the Bible. In 6 days, God made the world and he rested the seventh day. The whole world has our time governed by this. And some civilizations have tried to change it and it failed miserably. There, now some are going to say, Pastor Doug, we don't really know what day the Sabbath is because they've changed the calendar. Well, it's true that they have changed the calendar a couple of times, but there's been no change in the calendar that has affected the weekly cycle. Someone wrote a letter to the U.S. Naval Observatory asking if there was any change in the calendar that affected the weekly cycle. They responded back, there is no change in the continuity of the weekly cycle since long before the Christian era. And was there a change in the calendar? Yes. I believe it was Pope Gregory. He went from the Julian calendar, named after Julius Caesar, to the Gregorian calendar. And in October 1582, they added 10 days. And you went from October 5, Thursday, to Friday, October 15. Did the calendar change? Yes. Did the week change? No. People get confused because the calendar and the week are on the same piece of paper. They think that one affects the other. They're two completely separate, independent cycles of time. That's why your birthday is on a different day of the week each year, because they operate separately. One is a date, one is a day. Does God allow anyone to change his holy day? Proverbs 30, verse 5 and 6. Every word of God is pure. Add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. It says that the beast power would think to change times and laws. So when you look at the law of God, which one of the Ten Commandments is a time and a law? There's only one. Now, friends, the purpose of the plan of salvation is God is holy, heaven is holy, he's calling us to be holy. The Bible says, be ye holy, even as I am holy. He blessed the Sabbath day and he made it holy. Now think about this for a moment. There's a place on the globe that's called the Holy Land. What place are we thinking of? Israel. If you've not been there, it's a wonderful, wonderful trip, inspiring. And in the Holy Land, they've got a place called the Holy City. Where is that? Jerusalem. Anywhere in the world, you say, what's the Holy City? They're going to say Jerusalem. And in the Holy City, they've got the Holy Mount. Mount Moriah, Mount Zion, same mountain. And on the Holy Mount, they had the Holy Temple. And in the Holy Temple, they had the Holy Place. Beyond the Holy Place, they had the Holy of Holies. And in the Holy of Holies, this is what gave everything its holiness, was the Holy Law, the Word of God written with his own finger on stone. And in that Holy Law, you find the word holy one time. Actually, two times, but they're both in the Sabbath commandment. One that says holy, the other one says hallowed. So the place where you find the word holy is in the middle of the law, in the longest of the commandments, and the only commandment that begins with the word remember, and the commandment much of the Christian world is forgetting. and we are missing a blessing and working ourselves to death. It's like the devil, the Pharaoh, trying to kill us off by making bricks without straw. God wants his people to rediscover the blessings of the Sabbath. Now, I know when you hear this, you're thinking, oh, Pastor Doug, you know, my job, I got to work 7 days a week. You first make up your mind and say, is this true? And if it's true, will God ever ask you to do something without helping you do it? God, he'll help you do what he wants you to do. You just lay it before him and say, Lord, I'm yours. How do I do this? And he'll guide you. He'll move mountains and he'll part oceans. But if you make up your mind you want to follow the Lord, he will bless you for taking a stand. And keep in mind, I've had some people say, Pastor, I can't keep the Sabbath. I'd lose my job. You know, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego would not bow down to the golden image. And they were at risk of not only losing their jobs, they're going to lose their health insurance. They were going to lose their lives. But they decided the commandments of God are more important than the commandments of man. And so God, you know, Jesus said, you got to seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness. God deserves the priority in our lives. The devil wants to change times and laws. You read in Hebrews 4, verse 9, it says, there remains therefore a rest for the people of God. And that word rest there is sabbatismos. This is the New Testament. You can find the Sabbath being kept by God's people all the way through the New Testament. You know, one reason I know that it was not changed, a man cannot change God's law, is because the Sabbath was such a big part of the nation of Israel every week that for God to change that without there being an enormous advertisement in the New Testament is really absurd. It's like a self-evident truth. For example, I'm talking to a group here in the Sacramento area, Northern California. If I were to tell you, did you know that the government just changed the law yesterday? You may not have noticed. You know, things happen when you're not looking, especially these days. And they decided we're going to now follow England with our driving patterns. We're going to switch and drive on the other side of the road. How many of you believe me? You don't believe me because you say, if the government was going to change that, they would advertise that really thoroughly because it would be, chaos and a lot of people would die if they didn't know that law had been changed. If God was going to change one of the Ten Commandments, you'd see it discussed all through the New Testament. You know what you see the arguments about? The arguments are about things like circumcision. And some of the ceremonial laws, they were just shocked that the New Testament Christians were not required to follow those things. When does the Sabbath begin and end according to the Bible? From even unto even shall you celebrate your Sabbath. The days for God's people do not begin and end, you know, like midnight. I think we've got daylight savings time in 2 days, Saturday night. It's usually, they do it in the Sunday, 2 in the morning. Well, it's Saturday night, 2 in the morning. That depends on your perspective. God doesn't keep time that way. Sundown was the end of a day biblically. The Bible says that at even when the sun did set, and then they brought the sick to Jesus because they thought he didn't want to heal them on the Sabbath. He would have healed them on the Sabbath anyway. But they knew that it ended and began at sundown. And there's no question about what day that is. It's still Saturday, the seventh day of the week. Someone might be thinking, well, Pastor Doug, how do we know that there's not been a change? Well, not only has the calendar not changed, and not only do we know that, it's interesting, the people never have a problem with the days of the week. They never have a problem knowing what day is Sunday until they learn the Sabbath truth, and they say, we really don't know what the days are. And they always, you know, celebrate Easter Sunday. They say, there's no question about what the day is. But when they learn the Sabbath truth, they get real fuzzy about what the days are. You might convince me that there was a Jewish man or even a family that got shipwrecked on a deserted island, lost track of time, and didn't know what the day was. But the idea that the whole nation would forget their holy day all at the same time is very unlikely. The Jews still know when the Sabbath is. It's the same day that all the Christians kept up until about 250 years after Christ. The Muslims know what day Friday is, and everybody that celebrates Easter on Sunday, they know what day the first day is. There's no question about that. What day is the Lord's Day in Revelation 1:10? The vision of Revelation was given to John. He would not work. The Romans had him imprisoned on the Isle of Patmos, and history tells us they had some mines on Patmos where they would make the slaves work. John would not work on the mines. Sabbath day. He probably had the vision on the Lord's day. What day is the Lord's day? Let's let the Bible tell us what day the Lord is. But the seventh day, Exodus 20:10, is the Sabbath of the Lord. That's the Lord's day. Isaiah 58:13, if you turn away your foot from the Sabbath day, from doing your pleasure on my holy day. God is so clear. The Sabbath is his holy day. Therefore, the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath day. Indeed, I challenge you, send in a question, anybody. If you can send Pastor Doug one example in the Bible where God commands us to keep the first day holy, I'll read it to everybody. But I'm not waiting for your email because there is no commandment. I know that. This has come to us from tradition. Again, I know there are spirit-filled, God-loving Christians out there that maybe didn't know this before. But this is an important truth I think he wants us to all know. And I don't have enough time to cover everything I want to cover. So there's a website I want you to jot down. A lot more information to answer your questions. It says Discover the Sabbath Truth. It's called sabbathtruth.com. You might just make a note of that somewhere. If you've got questions about this, it answers just about every question you could possibly think of, and it's very thorough. Great website, sabbathtruth.com, and go there. Question number 16. What blessing is promised by the Sabbath commandment? Jesus said, "Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Jesus wants us to have that peace and that rest. He says, if they will enter into my rest. And then finally, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. The Lord promises that he will be with us in this journey. You know, when the children of Israel went out of Egypt, God went with them in that pillar of fire. And when we come to Christ, he says, my burden is easy. I want to give you rest for your souls. And part of the Sabbath is when you surrender yourself to the Lord, he gives you a peace in your heart. And then as you make up your mind, say, Lord, now I'm not going to live a life of sin. I repent of my sins. I want to now obey you. Jesus said, if you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. It's not everyone that says, Lord, Lord, that will enter the kingdom of heaven, but they that do the will of my Father in heaven. I don't think it's an accident that you're listening to this right now, friends. I'm teaching you from the Word of God. And I hope that you will not look around you. You're probably thinking, well, how could so many religious leaders out there be wrong? That is the very same thing that they said to the apostles. They said, how could all the priests be wrong? If Jesus is the Messiah, the priests will announce it. Oh, friends, Moses said, do not follow a multitude to do the wrong thing, to do evil. And so you follow what the Bible says and you will never be sorry. Amen? You know, before we close out this presentation with prayer, don't go away. We'll have questions in just a moment. I want to give you an opportunity to respond to what we talked about. If you're in a group or a church group, they've got some decision cards for you because we want to know how to pray for you. And those of you who are watching on television or satellite, when we go to the break in just a moment, you can go to the revelation.com website. There'll be a card there for you to fill out. And the questions on the card basically are talking about what we heard tonight, if it makes sense. Best time to take a stand for the truth is when you hear it and the Holy Spirit is working in your heart. I want to ask you just four simple questions. First of all, do you desire to have God's law written on your heart that you might have the seal of God in the last days? Just check that. And you can put your name, phone number on the card for your group. Second question, I choose to keep the seventh day Sabbath and to worship my Creator. You want that blessing? You say, Lord, that's the right thing. I want to do that. Third question, I choose to be among the saints who love Jesus and keep his commandments. If you want to be in that group in the last days, mark that box. And then fourth question says, I still have questions about this subject, but I'd maybe like a pastor, a group leader, someone to visit you, pray with you, and ask those questions. I want to pray with you now, before we go to our break, that God will give you wisdom and courage to follow his word and receive that rest. Father in heaven, we just want to thank and praise you for your presence in this presentation. We see we are living in the last days, and you're calling your people back to the word of God, back to the truth, to build on that rock of your word. I pray you'll bless each person here. that they might have the wisdom and the courage and the faith to follow Jesus. And just bless them now, Lord. I pray that you'll help them sense your presence and your spirit will speak to them and magnify your voice and your love. In Christ's name I pray, amen.
In 6 days, God created the heavens and the earth. For thousands of years, man has worshiped God on the seventh day of the week. Now, each week, millions of people worship on the first day. What happened? Why did God create a day of rest? Does it really matter what day we worship? Who is behind this great shift? Discover the truth behind God's law and how it was changed. Visit SabbathTruth.com.